This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Hey, y'all, and welcome to Unladylike. I'm Caroline.
Are you?
Oh, my God.
Finally, she did it, too. I have looked you dead in the eyes before and said, I'm Kristen.
Hey, y'all, and welcome to Unladylike. I'm Kristen.
I'm Caroline.
Caroline, I am holding in my hands a chilled bottle of champagne, Scharfenberger brand champagne that you and I have had since 2018, because this is the bottle of champagne that our network Stitcher sent us to congratulate us on the launch of Unladylike.
Yeah. Yeah, we're finally opening it. We're finally popping that bottle.
We never drank it.
No. And I mean, part of that has to do with the fact that, like, you know, when you're recording and trying to be on your toes, you don't want to also be drunk. I know I don't speak for all podcasters.
Well, and also, I still remember when this bottle, this gift came in the mail for us, and it was so thoughtful and nice. But the first thing I thought was like, oh, my God, I don't have time to drink champagne. We are just going to put this in the studio. Now, we have a few reasons we are popping the champagne today. And the first is because, Caroline, you closed on a house yesterday.
I did.
You are a homeowner.
Jesus. Wow. Yeah.
How does it feel?
Wild. Do you know the feeling where you've like passed through stress and anxiety and you're just like floating around in space and like, I don't know how I feel. I've been stressed for so long.
Yeah.
I'm there. I think I also had too much melatonin last night. So I'm feeling it's a little shocking and I'm in a little bit of disbelief.
Right. But let's go ahead and pop this bottle. I have no idea how it's going to taste.
Well, it's from the fine Scharfenberger.
The Scharfenberger vineyard. And I'm holding it close to the mic, trying to get a little ASMR action, you know. So we've got a little some crinkles. Honestly, my champagne opening etiquette, all of it I learned from the Bravo reality show Below Deck.
Oh.
So by that, I mean, I probably learned nothing.
At least I'm wearing glasses today.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to try to actually pop it.
Okay.
I also have a dog in my lap. Intern Brewster's in my lap. This could be a disaster. Oh, here we go. It worked.
It did. You got a nice, like, that was a great. I hope the mic picked up the sound of it ricocheting off your ceiling.
No one lost an eye. Okay.
Cheers. Yeah, it tastes like champagne.
Yeah, not bad.
All right, Scharfenberger.
Scharfenberger, its shelf life holds.
Yeah.
The second reason to pop this bottle of champagne is that you have an announcement to make.
I do. Sometimes when two podcasters love each other very much, they become work wives. And sometimes, even though they still love each other very much, they go in different directions. Y'all, I'm leaving Unladylike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will still be very geographically close to Kristen, emotionally close to Kristen. I just won't be in business with Kristen.
Yeah, we are consciously uncoupling.
We are.
As work wives, we've been podcasting together for over 10 years now.
Yeah.
And we have been official work wives, business partners mm-hmm. for what, since January 2017?
Mm-hmm. 5 years.
5 years. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And because rule of threes, there is a third reason yeah. we are popping this champagne, which, again, gifted to us by Stitcher, unladylike, is not as consciously uncoupling from our network. Stitcher/SiriusXM chose to part ways with unladylike.
Yeah.
Because of all this, there will be a brief hiatus in the Unladylike main feed. But y'all, I fully plan to continue the show once all of that is ironed out. And also in the meantime, Patreon is going to keep on going. So
hell yeah.
If you want to keep Unladylike in your ears and join me on the next phase of this journey, head over to patreon.com/unladylikemedia. And your support is, I'm going to go ahead and say crucial. Crucial. It's crucial, y'all. And since this is obviously a lot of news for unladies to take in, we are going to start the episode by catching everyone up on what's happening and why. And later, we are going to take a little trip down podcasting memory lane to take stock of everything that Caroline and I have done together over the past decade.
Everything.
And also just be transparent with our wonderful unladies about everything going on.
Yeah, y'all have trusted us with your stories, and now we're trusting y'all with ours.
All right, Caroline, what do you want unladies to know about this decision? Like, tell everyone what's going on.
Yeah, so as far as professionally, Kristen is spot on that this is a conscious uncoupling. We have been in communication. I didn't tell her yesterday that I am leaving.
And if you had, we wouldn't be recording this episode.
Yeah, probably not. We would not have had time to prepare. The champagne would not have had time to chill. And then as far as what I want listeners to know, like, personally about this decision, was just that it felt like the right time in my life.
Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. I had been doing a lot of thinking about my future, basically. This line of thinking started back when I was living with roommates. My life felt pretty chaotic. And when I looked down the line at what I wanted personally, it felt like I needed a lot more stability. And yeah, a lot of stability is definitely code for money, for sure. I wanted to be more financially secure. And I think I was ready also, though, like from a non-financial standpoint, I felt ready to put a focus on things that were more personal. So like professional growth, financial growth, changes there. But also I felt ready in it, and I do feel ready to have a job that is, I don't know, like less tied in with my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, that reminds me of one of the pivotal conversations that we had in 2021. I still remember because it was the same week as the Capitol insurrection. Mm-hmm. I had COVID. You were in a really tough place, and the world was just like spinning out of control, as it still feels like it is. And you and I were having a kind of a look ahead meeting as business partners, because that's the thing. Yes, we host this podcast, but this podcast has also been our attempted livelihood for the past 5 years. And that has not been easy. And it has gotten increasingly harder, to be completely honest with y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And the question that I asked you was, do you want to run a business or do you want to work for a business?
Mm-hmm.
And in the conversations that followed, and what you communicated back to me, that was a a turning point question for you.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that put words to sort of the nebulous thoughts that I was having in terms of like, what do you want for your life, for your work life, for your personal life? And I like distinctly remember the moment when it became clear. I was sitting on my front porch at my apartment at the time, and I was just still not in a great mental space, and for a lot of reasons, many of them personal. And I realized, like, no, I think going forward, I think that that's exactly it, is that I want to, not that I'm so desperate to work for someone else, you know, but just the idea of I am ready to clock in, clock out, go out into my garden.
You want your life back.
Yeah. You know, I got really used to, when you and I started working together, having like two jobs, because when I started podcasting with Kristen, I think a lot of y'all might already know this, I was a contractor for How Stuff Works, which is now iHeart Podcasts, and I had to have a day job as well. And so, like, there is a certain sense of, like, I don't know who I am. Like, who am I when I'm not working? Mm-hmm. And, like, do I have hobbies?
And just to be clear, that contract phase and How Stuff Works, yeah, that's pre-unladylike.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That was many, many years ago. And so I think there was something about, like, getting used to hiding in work for me personally. I have reached a point where I would like to know myself more, I think.
Yeah, I was going to ask, if you feel comfortable sharing, what do you feel like you were hiding from?
Hiding from, I don't know, like having to flesh out my own personality.
Oh.
No, and I don't mean that to be self, I don't think I don't have a personality or whatever, but I'm also, just so we're clear, not blaming any of this on unladylike, the business, or Kristen Conger, the person. This is purely like how I operate, how I have operated, like, professionally. I have a tendency to, like, overwork, find excuses to not do things, to not see people, to not go places. And then when I'm done with work, instead of being like, I don't know, find something enriching that makes you feel healthy and happy, I'm like, well, I guess I'll just, like, make dinner and sit on the couch and go to bed and rinse and repeat. And I'm not saying that, like, a 9-to-5 is the solution to that. But I am saying that as part of my desire to, like, figure out who I am when I'm not part of unladylike, etc., I don't know. I wanted to free up some brain space.
Yeah. I also feel you very much in terms of, like, we have been CNC, mm-hmm, a unit, mm-hmm, for a really long time. And I think that it's as much of an important team that's been and duo that's been, just speaking for myself, both personally and professionally, it also feels like the right time for us to transition ahead as Kristen, period, and Caroline, period. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that, at least for myself, and at least what I've been telling my therapist, the changes ahead that I want for myself and for my work, I think it's necessary for me to also confront the things that maybe I'd been hiding from to some extent by having a partner, mm-hmm, if that makes sense, rather than just putting myself 100% fully out there and it's just me.
Yeah, how does that feel?
It's scary. I mean, it's really fucking scary, partly because it's totally uncertain and this feels like the next phase of confronting my vulnerabilities and fears of failure and fear of rejection in a deeper way, because it will be just me. And I say that, you know, just in terms of like the podcast, like it's not that I was sitting here being like, well, Caroline, blah, blah, blah. Does any of this make sense?
Yeah. But I'm curious, though, how it feels. So I know I'm very familiar with financial anxiety. And you and I have talked a little bit about the anxiety business-wise of moving forward after I leave. But I'm very curious how you're feeling creatively as you're like looking down the barrel of going it alone. How do you feel about the things that you have created, will create, like doing that just like as Unladylike Media?
Well, I have asked and keep asking people in my life whom I trust whether I am crazy to not be following your lead and looking for a 9-to-5. Because the business side, the financial side of podcasting is, y'all, it is a totally different landscape than it was 5 years ago when we started Unladylike. And certainly, I started podcasting in 2009. And people just thought I was a blogger, really didn't understand what a podcast was. So things have just, the landscape has just changed dramatically. And I ultimately, like, the thing that is in my heart is to make shit that matters to people and make the kind of stuff that, in the ways that we hear back from Unladies all the time and that keeps me going, make the things that help people feel less alone, help explain a little bit like why things are the way they are. And obviously all of that through the lens of gender, because that's that's my bag. Oh, and as far as how I'm feeling creatively, I mean, if I could separate the, I feel like the creative feelings are much different than like my practical brain, because my practical brain is like, oh my God, but where's the money going to come from? How are you going to pay like your mortgage, etc.? But my creative brain, when it forgets about that side of things, is really excited because there's so much that I still want to make, and things that I have been maybe scared to make. And it's like, well, all the chips are being pushed in the middle of the table. So let's find out.
Yeah. I know that your creativity is just incredible. You're one of the most talented people I have ever met. And so money concerns aside, if we are talking about creativity, you know, I know you will do incredible things.
Thank you. Well, I also want to know from you, Caroline, looking ahead, are you going to be podcasting?
No.
Are you going to be doing anything in audio?
No, I highly doubt it. If I do, it will be very personal. So in terms of taking equipment and going to family members, you know, it would not be a thing that I would create to sell, basically. And I also, you know, like as part of like what I said about who am I? Like, I need to get to know myself again. Part of that is also like, what would I create anything if I were just alone? Like literally and figuratively, just like, if I didn't have anyone expecting anything, can I create something? You know, and that goes for writing, that goes for audio, whatever. Like, but no, short story long, I don't have any like audio aspirations. I I would like to just be able to at least put pen to paper personally again for myself for the first time in a really long time.
One last question for you, Caroline, before we head to a break. What is next for you professionally?
TBD, freelancing for the time being. But in terms of like looking at the type of 9-to-5 landscape that I'm investigating, so like communications, marketing, senior writer, things like that. Those are the types of jobs that I am looking at, and I'm sort of freelancing to fill in some resume gaps in order to get there. Short story long, yeah, I'm looking for something in the communication sphere where I can get back to some 9-to-5 word nerdery and, you know, have someone give me benefits in a 401k.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to rewind back to the very beginning of our podcasting story together. We're back. And Caroline, we wanted to look back on our decade plus of podcasting together. So let's start at the very beginning.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Caroline.
And welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You, Caroline.
Thank you.
This is the official first episode featuring the new co-host. As many of you listeners probably know, Molly has decided to pursue more writing with HowStuffWorks.com, and that opened up a seat at the podcasting table. And I am so excited to have Caroline, another inquisitive, well-spoken, funny lady, to speak with me.
Wow, thanks, Kristen.
You're welcome.
It's good to be here.
Yeah.
You and I go way back, actually.
We do.
All the way back.
Babies. Yeah, that was our first ever recorded CNC podcast factory session of Stuff Mom Never Told You back in 2011.
I sound like I'm 12.
Yeah, I love it.
It sounds so polite.
Hello.
That's true.
Hello and welcome.
And I am an inquisitive, well-spoken, funny lady.
I know. I really hope that you've put that on your resume.
Yeah.
As the like, about me.
Well, now I will, actually. Now I will. And it's funny to listen back to your combined intro of me and explanation of your previous co-host leaving, because this would cue like 2 solid years of people emailing us to ask where Molly had gone.
Right. And this will probably cue 2 solid years of people asking me where Caroline has gone.
Just do my voice. I know you can do it.
Well, unfortunately, I will have this episode that I will, you know, I can just set up an auto reply with a link to this episode. But that is wild to think about. That episode, though, y'all, our very first podcast episode together was on Stuff Mom Never Told You, which I co-created and launched with How Stuff Works, which is now iHeart Podcasts, back in 2009. Our first episode together in 2011 was on rebounds, because I'm pretty sure you and I were both single.
Yeah.
Maybe doing a little rebounding.
Yeah.
Fun. And you and I continued hosting Stuff Mom Never Told You through the end of 2016.
Yeah. Yeah, basically, the election happened. You and I recorded like a tearful response to it.
Yeah.
We wrapped up Stuff Mom Never Told You.
Well, we passed the mic along.
Yeah.
Stuff Mom Never Told You is still very much alive and well.
Yeah, we wrapped up our time on Stuff Mom Never Told You, and they've gone through some co-hosting changes and now are hosted by our dear friends Annie and Samantha.
Yes.
So it feels like it's still in the family.
Yeah, we love Annie and Samantha. But Caroline, we got to talk about scene C. Let's take a moment, rewind back to when we started working together. What was going on in your life at the time?
Oh, man. Well, I was looking for meaningful work. I can tell you that much. I had left a newspaper job. I was working at a nonprofit. You and I reconnected, which was amazing. And while I was working at that nonprofit, you reached out and asked if I wanted to basically slide into the co-host seat with you at Stuff Mom Never Told You. And I was so excited because basically it just meant getting to talk to my friend all the time and like getting paid for it. And I was a contractor at the time for How Stuff Works. I ended up after that getting like a second day job. And it just really got to a point where I still wanted that meaningful work, but I really wanted that meaningful work to be working with you at Stuff I've Never Told You and How Stuff Works full time. So basically, one day I emailed your boss at How Stuff Works and I basically said, hi, so you're going to hire me full time. And he was surprised to learn that he was. And I laid out the terms and the timeline. And fast forward, in October of 2014, I came on board full time with you at How Stuff Works and was able to become a full time podcaster on the condition that I also was an editor for the educational website side of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So again, like keeping my thing of having two jobs. Just that's how I operated for many, many years.
I still distinctly remember I was in the farmer's market, probably bagging up some kale when you texted me to tell me like, hey, I just informed, you know, the boss that he will be hiring me full time. Love that memory.
Yeah, I mean, some people might call that pushy. I call it assertive and past its time.
I would call that unladylike.
Yeah. But where were you? I mean, I know literally like you were at How Stuff Works podcasting and writing, but like where were you professionally at that time? Like emotionally? Like how were you feeling about your job at the time?
So at the time I was in my mid-20s.
And oh my God, were we ever so young?
I know. And personally, I was a hot mess in just a lot of different ways. And professionally, I was bound and determined to make Stuff Mom Never Told You matter to the powers that were at the time. So basically like our bosses, you know, trying to constantly convince people that, yes, talking about women and gender, this is not a niche thing. And there is value in these conversations. And please, for the love of God, pay me as much as the men at this workplace. Y'all, that never happened. Side note. And I became a squeaky wheel that I needed to be. I definitely became much more assertive the longer I stayed on there.
I know, and that included wearing high heels to intimidate the boss. He was so easily intimidated.
I did, y'all. If I wore heels, I would be significantly taller than our boss at the time. And, you know, it at least made me feel more powerful.
I love a good power play.
Even though, again, see, also wage gap. So, yeah. Overall, I would say that whole period of time I was with that company for upwards of 8 years, it was my feminist awakening. Mm-hmm. And I really had to fight tooth and nail for myself and for what my values were and what I thought mattered for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I'm really grateful that I had the place to be able to do that. And in 2016, I'd finally reached a point where I'd fully realized the scope of what the limitations were in that job at the time, and also just being tired of being kind of taken for granted in mm-hmm. a lot of ways, especially monetarily. So in October of 2016, it was I like officially left the job, but finished out the year podcasting mm-hmm. stuff. I've never told you mm-hmm. with you. And mm-hmm. then 2017, it was off to the races to start Unladylike, which meant us launching a new podcast, which took much longer than we expected, and also writing a book, our book, which was much harder than expected. And it was, and I got married all during that time. Like 2016, everything happened. Mm-hmm. So it's been an era.
Well, you talked about your feminist awakening. I mean, I am really curious because my answer is like, oh my God, a lot. But I am curious, how has podcasting through Stuff Mom Never Told You and Unladylike changed you?
It's allowed me to find my voice.
Mm-hmm.
More importantly, though, and it is the thing that I come back to again and again when I am feeling anxious and frustrated and hopeless, it's hearing back from the audience mm-hmm. and listeners who have taken the time to share their stories and their experiences and insights and secrets
mm-hmm.
with us over the years. That is honestly, more than being on the mic, that is probably the thing that's changed me the most, because it's cultivated empathy and broadened my understanding of the world. And I mean, it's, and also given me, it's just radically changed my perspective, because mm-hmm. it's one thing, you and I are research nerds, it's one thing to read studies mm-hmm. and read all of the reporting and articles about things. And mm-hmm. it's another thing to actually hear from a person wildly removed from your day-to-day life
mm-hmm.
and step into their shoes for a minute.
Oh, yeah. I feel the same. So somebody on Twitter, this was a couple months ago, posted something where they basically said, if you hadn't taken the career path that you've taken, like, who would you be? How would you be different? What would you be doing? My answer was a glib, like, I'd probably be an alcoholic copy editor, just miserable, you know, in a newsroom. I might never have left, whatever. But like the deeper answer, I think, is that I would have probably, I'm not projecting this onto anyone else, this is purely personal, I think I would be a worse person. I think I would be less empathetic. I think podcasting with you, with the communities that we've built, reading what we've read, talking to whomst we've talked to, it has made me and kept me more curious, more empathetic,
yeah.
More aware of injustices, the ways that people are marginalized, and especially the fact that I don't know everything. And I would be foolish to try to, you know, be some loudmouth expert the way that just, you know, so many people are online or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps me, I don't know. Yeah, I think that the curiosity, I think, has been the most valuable part, the curiosity and empathy.
How has your definition of dream job changed in the past 5 years?
For me, I don't think that there's any such thing. I know that one can have a job where, like, everything goes so well. You know, you're making a lot of money. You have great benefits. You like your coworkers. You know, like, you like your actual work. And that sounds like a dream. But something that I've also started to realize as I've gotten older is, like, for me personally, again, caveat, like, for me personally, there is no such thing as a dream job. There's always going to be some sort of, like, hitch. And a dream job for me would be, this is as close to a dream job as I think I could get. But it's not fully, right? Because I don't feel like I can fully support myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so the dream is everything we just talked about in terms of, like, the impact we've had, but also the impact that has been made on us by our audience. And, like, getting to research and talk to you for a living, like, fucking yeah. Getting to be a feminist and say fuck into the microphone and, you know, that is a dream. But again, short story long, I have changed in terms of believing that there really is such a thing as a dream job and just thinking that there are jobs mm-hmm. that you can enjoy parts of or like better than others or support you better than not or whatever. But dream job, I now feel more about the word dream job like I do about soulmate. Like, I don't really believe that in soulmates. I believe that the one is who you choose and work to continue choosing and make it work with.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I feel similar to with the idea of a dream job. But what about you?
Honestly, I think the biggest thing that's changed for me is that doing your dream job doesn't equate being your dream person, your dream self, or your mm-hmm. dream life.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, in my experience, doing my dream job, because this is, despite the difficulties, this is still my dream job. And has required and will continue to require deep personal work.
Mm-hmm.
As we've talked about regarding Unladylike the book,
mm-hmm.
writing a book was my childhood dream. And it turns out, in my experience with that, it was a shock to discover that doing the thing that you've dreamed of and that you've worked so hard for, it can bring up just all of your personal insecurities mm-hmm. and shortcomings along with that.
Sure, yeah. It involves a lot of vulnerability and, you know.
So I think what I'm saying is for myself, in order to maintain my dream job, I need a dream therapist.
Here, here. All right, y'all, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, our senior producer, Nora, has a game for us. And we ask each other a couple more questions.
We're back, and we're joined by Unladylike senior producer Nora Ritchie. Hi, Nora.
Hi, Kristen and Caroline. I'm so honored to be here.
Well, we are so happy you're here, too. Now, y'all, you've heard Nora's name before. She has been our senior producer for several years, and that means that she has also been present for many of our hilarious Unladylike games. And now, Nora, we hear that you are bringing us a game.
Yes, yes, finally I have a game. So it's called Who's That Unlady? And here's how it works. I'm going to play a short clip from an old Unladylike episode, and you have to tell me what Unladylike guest is talking. So a bit of a walk down memory lane here.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, all right, first up.
When you bouncing, you are working it out. You are twerking, shaking, wiggling, wobbling, Peter panning, hustling. You are working it out, girlfriend.
Yes, Big Frida.
Yes, that's totally Big Frida. One of my all-time favorite episodes. Okay, here's the next one.
I have no idea how to, like, meet a man. So I'm on these awful, awful dating apps.
I know this one. Bing, 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 bing. She just co-hosted the Critics' Choice Awards, Caroline.
Oh, Nicole Byer?
Yes.
Oh, my God, her voice. All right. I was like, I wonder, I'm going to blame this on the earbuds.
Well, I also know because I support her Patreon, 90 Day Bay, her 90 Day Fiancé recap podcast.
What a great interview. She was so much fun.
Oh, my God.
One of my favorite interviews for sure.
Love her.
I listened as a fan because that was before I worked on the show. So, yeah, for my time. Okay, here is another one of my favorites.
Scientists tend to define happiness in two ways. They think of happiness as having joy in your life and having joy with your life.
Is that Dr. Lori Santos?
Yes.
Okay. In our Ask Unladylike episode on happiness versus toxic positivity, that one was a huge hit with y'all out there. And I'm not surprised because I feel like toxic positivity is a huge conversation point these days.
Yeah. 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 She was great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next up, we have a bit of an icon, I would say.
I go to this meeting with my passion and notes and ideas and thoughts about why I...
Oh, yes. That is our princess, right? Our princess for manifesting.
Nope.
No? Wait, will you play it again?
I go to this meeting with my passion and notes and ideas and thoughts about why I absolutely have to play Louise in this movie.
Oh, Gina Davis!
Yes!
For some reason, I was hearing an accent
at first.
That's so funny.
I was, too. I was like, did we talk to Anna Delvey? And I just forgot about it. Oh, my God. Gina Davis. Highlight. So my boyfriend at the time had bought us Lizzo tickets for the day that you and I were supposed to fly. We had like a turnaround. We were supposed to fly into Arkansas to interview icon Gina Davis at the Bentonville Film Festival. And I was like, two icons, one of whom I would just see perform and one of whom I would actually talk to on stage in person. And it was kind of a no-brainer to get to go talk to Gina Davis. Oh, my God, she put me at such ease. She's so tall and wonderful.
Y'all, when I met Gina Davis and we said hello, she kindly told me I had lipstick on my teeth. It was amazing.
She was wonderful.
What a kind and smart lady. Okay, I have one final. Who's that on, lady?
You know, we definitely went into this show with the intention of, like, kicking open the barn doors.
Yes, buzz, buzz. That's Samantha Bee.
Yes, that's Samantha Bee.
Oh, my God. Another one of my favorite interviews. Nora, you dimed it. I love it. Like, Samantha Bee, she's so funny, but she's so approachable. I don't know if that's the Canadian in her, but like, God, she just, that was one of the easiest interviews.
Yeah.
Because she's so kind and warm and funny, but also angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like all of those things together are just such a delicious combination in a guest. And obviously, I mean, she's obviously a professional. She's very good at what she does. Yeah, that was another one of my favorites.
Yeah. And she has, you know, when she's not doing her show, she has a very calm interview voice. So I found her to be very relaxing. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
She really does.
Interestingly enough, too. Well, Kristen and Caroline, that was Who's That on Lady? Thank you for playing.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for such a wonderful game.
That was fun. I love a trip down memory lane, especially one that involves Big Frida.
Exactly. And I just want to say, this is our last episode together. And I'm going to really miss working with both of you. It's been honestly such a pleasure. You both have such integrity, such creativity, such drive to make this show. And I don't know. I just want to say that I'm going to really miss you all. And so I'm not big on goodbyes, but that's what I have to say.
Well, Nora, we're going to miss you, too. And I hope that we will see each other again sometime in New York, perhaps, or maybe in Atlanta if you make your way down here. But basically, like, right back at you. It's been so fun working together. And thank you for all of your patience and your determination dealing with me, even on my, you know, on my tougher days as well as my hopefully not so tough days.
Yeah, no, truly same. I have to echo that. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your warmth. You have the most, like, generous spirit, and you have really helped. You have really helped shepherd this show.
Yeah,
and I appreciate your brains and your brawn when it comes to helping us steer Unladylike. So thank you so much.
Thank you both. That means a lot.
All right, Caroline, we have just a couple more questions that we need to ask each other before you say goodbye. So, what are you most proud of in what we've accomplished together?
Oh my God. How do you narrow it down? Like, so it's a mix for me of the personal and the professional. So number one, I'm incredibly proud of the community that we have built. You know, this goes back to an earlier answer that you were giving about, you know, hearing from the audience. I'm just incredibly proud that we've had the freedom to create the kind of content that we have that educates and validates. I've been incredibly proud of the fact that we have never tried to be prescriptive or lectury. We have followed our curiosity as we've experienced it and as it has been triggered by our incredible audience. So I am so proud of that feedback loop, basically, between us and the community that we've built. And then also, I'm most proud of us as a unit for leaving How Stuff Works and going out on our own. It was hard as shit, and it's been scary as shit. But you and I didn't want to keep creating content for someone else. We didn't want to keep creating content with limits and caps on it. And so, yeah, those are, if I had to narrow it down, I think those are two of the things that I'm most proud of. But what about you?
I, too, am proud of us betting on ourselves and taking a big risk on ourselves. And I'm also very grateful that we didn't know how much of a risk we were taking at the time. And I'm proud of us doing what we set out to do with Unladylike. I went back, Caroline, the other day and looked at our original pitch for mm-hmm. this show. And we wanted to make a more narrative, intersectional, feminist podcast. And we wanted to create a platform where we elevated more voices and told more stories that deserved telling. And we've done that. And obviously, like, there's still a lot more that I want to do. But I'm really proud of our growth as feminists who are white, but not white feminists.
Well, Kristen, as I pack up my little tote bag and my stick and bindle and hit the road, do you have any advice for me?
You know, I have no practical advice to give you because, y'all, Caroline is one of the most just diligent, timely, organized people that I know and have had the pleasure to work with. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing professionally that I would advise you. And also, like, you are already doing the thing of following what is right for you and paying attention to that and allowing yourself to change and grow. And I think the main advice that I would give you, though, just as a human person, is to not underestimate yourself and your little tote and stick and bindle. You know, I understand fully where you're coming from when you talk about feeling an absence of creativity and a desire to figure out more like who you are and like what your personality is and all of this stuff. And I just hope that you also remember that there's already so much there. There's so much there. You are incredibly patient and kind, and I would not be here without you, and I appreciate more than I can express the ways that you have challenged me and also held me accountable and also comforted me over the past 5 years. And I am excited for you to take this next step.
Thank you.
Now, what advice would you give me?
I mean, similarly, I don't have like practical advice in terms of anything career-wise. Like I said, you are the most creative, like funniest person I know in real life. So I don't have any doubt that you are going to take off like a fucking rocket in whatever direction you want. In fact, I was just talking to my boyfriend the other night about this all, you know, all of this life moving forward. We're buying a house together, so we're talking about jobs as well. And I was like, you know, if I had to guess, Kristen is going to take Unladylike to places that, like, I can't even imagine. Because I think you're going to shoot out of a cannon creatively. I have no doubt. I have complete faith in you. Like, you've been my soft landing place for over a decade now. When I'm freaking out, the few times I'm not freaking out, I know that anything that I'm feeling or have to say or any, like, you know, anything from the profound to the snarky Twitter commentary, I know that I have a place to come and talk to you about it because you are a fantastic human. My bit of advice overlaps with the advice you gave me. Having said all of that about your immense creativity and talent, I don't want you to undersell yourself either. And I don't want you to give away your power without someone even asking first. You have so much talent and power, and I don't want to see you give an inch. You are your boss, as long as you want to be.
Not to be confused with a girl boss.
Right. Yeah, fuck that. Yeah. But I just want you to remember how much power and talent you really do have. And no one can take that away without your permission. And don't ever don't ever apologize for being as powerful and talented as you are.
Well, thank you. I'm going to need to sew that on a pillow so that I can remind myself of that every day. And the thanks don't end here, because we've got a lot more people to thank.
Oh, yeah. We have not created this show alone.
No. We have our just day-to-day unladylike team, our little coven, who I'm going to be so sad to not be slacking with all the live long day. Our fabulous senior producer, Nora Ritchie, our story editor, Gianna Palmer, our associate producer, Michelle O'Brien, our executive producers, Daisy Rosario and Peter Clowney. Thank all of you so much for keeping the show going and also just making us better podcasters.
Oh, yeah. And let's not forget our amazing OG production and engineering team. Original Unladylike producer Abigail Keel, Claire Rawlinson, Andy Christens, Sam Lee, Julie Subrin, Jenny Rattlett, Laura Mayer, Greta Cohn,
Stephanie Kariuki, Shruthi Marate, who always transcribes our tape, yeah. Our original engineer, Casey Holford, and also final shout out to Chris Bannon, who was essential in getting this show originally greenlit. And wow, I don't want to use the old cliche of it takes a village, but I guess it takes a village.
To raise an unlady
who will be unruly and go her own way.
Absolutely. I mean, the support from those folks and from our unladylike community truly, truly has meant the world. Just thank you. Thank you. And thank you, Kristen, for this amazing journey.
Well, you know, cheers.
Cheers.
Well, friends, it's just Kristen here now, and I am excited for the next era of Unladylike, and I hope that you will join me for what's to come, because, y'all, there are so many conversations we still need to have. There are so many people and unladies that we still need to hear from. The issues of the day are so pressing, and I don't know about y'all, but I'm not going to be able to get through it without my unladies. So, folks, like I mentioned at the very top of this episode, we will likely have a brief hiatus in the main feed while I get all of the unladylike ducks in a row. But in the meantime, find me over on patreon.com/unladylikemedia. Remember, there are already nearly 100 bonus episodes over there, and you can support me as we head on this next phase of the adventure at patreon.com/unladylikemedia. Thanks so much for being here, and I will talk to y'all very soon. Remember
when May is rushing over. Thank you, Kristen, for this amazing journey.
You're welcome.
Imagine if that's how we ended the show.
That would be so funny.
Oh my god.
Perfect.
Stitcher.